wasn't just one. And from the time you're a little young'un till the time they put you back in the dirt, you seem to be from one storm to another. You look at little young'uns, 3, 4, 5 years old, their life is a storm. They're trying to find their place in life. They're very territorial. They manipulate for power. They find out who they can control and who they can't. And they're butting heads with life and their place in it from the time they're little tots. Then they get to just at that pre-puberty stage, and the hormones start to change. And then there's this storm of conflict inside. Somewhere, somehow, some force they don't understand is changing them from little boys and little girls to men and women. And their emotions are over here and over there, and they can get from here to there faster than I can say it. And one minute there, you see a little girl and she's playing with her Barbie doll. And the next minute, she's dressing up like mama with high heels and lipstick and eyeshadow. Amen. And she has impulses and urges, and boys have all that testosterone level changes and all that weird stuff that goes on, all that biology and all that chemical nonsense. But it's a battle to them. They don't know how to deal with those new emotions and those new feelings. And so the storm rages. Then we grow up and mature, you know, and we transition into adulthood and we get married, and you think everything's calm, you know, and life is going to settle down. Then you start having young'uns. And a storm returns. It's amazing, man. Now daddy's torn between spending time with mama, spending time with the kids, and making a living and giving them all the stuff the next door neighbor's got and buying all the junk they don't really need. And mama's torn between being daddy's girl and taking care of her husband and being all she needs to be for them young'uns and trying to have some semblance of a life, and the storm rages on. Then we get middle age, 45, 50, and 55. And you'd say, boy, all the hard stuff behind me, childhood, youth, puberty, marriage, children, college. It's time to settle down. The storm is at last over. Then you go through this thing called the change. And the middle age crazies. And all of a sudden, the life that has been so rewarding and so fulfilling and so satisfying, somehow you get the idea that life has passed you by and you've missed it all, and you spent your whole life paying bills, raising kids, and sleeping with one woman, and somehow you've missed it. And so now you got to go nuts, you know, and find you a younger woman and find you a younger man and buy a Harley when you're too old to ride one. You see some 60-year-old guy running around with his belly rubbing the steering wheel of his new Corvette. Looking retarded, you know. You ain't ever seen a 60-year-old man in your life look good in a Corvette. Amen. But I will when I get mine. And so when then we struggle with that midlife crisis thing. Amen. And just about the time we get that whoop, and God's been gracious, and we weathered the storm, and we say, boy, that's it. That's the last battle. Then the signs and the shortcomings and the mechanical failures of old age begin to set in. And we spend the rest of our lives until death fighting the ravages of time on our bodies. And we struggle with the loss of loved ones and friends. And one day you wake up and you realize the next name on your calendar is yours. You know, and with all the aches, I'm here to tell you, life is a long line of thunderstorms. My wife sings a song that I've always loved called "Till the Storm Passes By." I love that song because it talks about God's enduring mercy and grace and His support for us. Amen. If we'll just hang in there till the storm passes by. Amen. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'll bring you a little message entitled, Till the Storm Passes By. And I'm not talking about the one little thunderstorm cell you're in right now. I'm talking about till the storm passes by. Until life is over and you put you in the ground and you fought your last battle and you've been through your last storm and you arrive on the other side. I want to talk to you. I want to try and encourage you to stay in the fight and weather the storm. And realize it's not one little battle. It's not one little squall. It's a long line of thunderstorms. And you need to dig in and say, till the storm passes by, this is what I'm going to do. I suppose if we have a text this morning, we use Acts chapter 27. If you'd start with me there in verse 1. The Bible said, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adametrium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Arcturus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. The next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go to his friends to refresh himself. And we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Sidon, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete and over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasa. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lies toward the southwest and northwest. And when the wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We ask for liberty to preach and power to preach. And I pray, Lord God, you would help us in some small way to encourage the hearts of God's people. Help us to get a grip on life and the problems that come with it and realize that it's not going to always be easy sailing, that the storms come and the storm comes suddenly and they're unpredictable, but it is absolutely incumbent upon us to keep on sailing and to weather the storm and hang in there no matter what till the storm passes by. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I would like to have taken all the time to read the entire chapter. I think it will probably help you understand some of the points just a little better. But we don't have that much time this morning. So I want to give you, I only have 4 points. For me, this is an incredibly short message. I normally have 7 to 17. But I only have 4 this morning. But I want you to pay attention to them. They are, I think, very, very important, and I believe that if you'll listen and take the principle contained therein, it can help you ride it out till the storm passes by. A lot of times the reason people don't ride it out till the storm passes by, they have a wrong expectation about life. And they have especially a wrong expectation about the Christian life. Somehow they get the idea that when they get saved, all their troubles are over. Honey, I got news for you. They just started. If you want to find out for sure for yourself, I don't mean listening to somebody else, no speculation, no secondhand thinking about it. If you want to know for sure if the devil is alive and well, get saved and try to live for God. Amen. Now, you get saved and live for God, you're going to find out the troubles just got started, because the devil don't want you living for God, and the flesh don't want you living for God. Amen. Now, let me give you these four things, and we'll go have our nice Sunday lunch. Amen. And my wife is still tossing the coins. She don't know where we're going today. We don't know if we're going up to Catfish Cove or that other place up in Gastonia, Boy, but someplace where they got a lot of food. That's where I want to go. Somebody say amen. Amen. In Acts chapter 27, we have the story here, and if we'd read it all, you'd find that this ship not only launched out to sea, and they thought everything was going to go good. They thought they had obtained their purpose. They caught some wind there, and things were going pretty good. And all of a sudden, the wind died, and they couldn't go anywhere. And they were despairing over that because there wasn't any wind to drive the ship. Then all of a sudden, out of that clear blue sky came Euroclydon. That's a European hurricane kind of a thing. And that thing engulfed them. And they went, if you read the chapter, they went many days and never saw the sun, and the wind blew and the rains came. Boy, it was a terrible time. It was dark and stormy, and they kind of lost track of where they were, and they couldn't control the ship. And after a long, long time, after a number of days, they finally had to throw the stuff overboard, and the wind broke the ship up, and it ran aground, and people had to jump out of the boat. And the boat was destroyed, but the people got ashore, and they survived the storm, even though their ship went down. Now, I want to take that and learn a couple of lessons about till the storm passes by. Number one, you're not the only one in a storm. Amen. Man, I tell you what, honest goodness, you talk to some folks, you think they's the only people in the world ever had a problem. After a while, they kind of get on your nerves whining about what all's wrong. Preacher, you just don't know what I've been through. We listened to a little old boy the other day, could have been 25 years old, talking about what all he'd been through, and he's just ready to go home. Remember that little old preacher boy the other night? I thought, son, sit down and shut up. You are over your head. You know what he's talking about. He said, I've been through some stuff today. I said, I'm just in my 20s, but I'm just ready to go home and be... I said, good night, man. You ain't had time to have a fight yet. Amen. He's ready to throw the towel in. He needs to learn to hang on till the storm passes by. Now, you're not the only one in the storm. Now, I'll tell you what happens to us. When we get out there and the storm comes, we tend to think that we're all by ourselves. The truth is, there was a whole bunch of folks on that boat. And when that boat went through that storm, a lot of folks went through that storm together. Amen. And so when you think life's been unfair and things just ain't going your way, and Lord, I don't know why you let this happen to me, just shut up. Just can it. Everybody else has got the same problem. They've got the same fears. Amen. They've got the same dreads. Amen. They've got the same discouragement, the same despair. Because we tend to forget that there's a whole bunch of folk got nothing has happened in your life that hasn't happened to millions of people, that is not presently happening to millions of other people. You are not the only one. Quit acting like you are. Quit acting like God singled you out for this terrible test. Amen. You ain't that special. You just an ordinary old sinner saved by grace. That's the best you can be. Amen. Amen. But don't forget that we're in it with a lot of other folks. And being in it with some other folks can be advantageous. Amen. 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 Misery loves company. there's comfort in numbers. Amen. And sometimes it's nice to have somebody that's going through the same thing. We can whine to each other and mutually understand each other's pain. Amen. Now, so the first thing you need to learn about them storms is you ain't the only one going through it. You also need to learn this ain't the only one you're going to go through. You're going to be more than one. It's going to be a long line of thunderstorms. And every part of your life, every little section, every little part of it, you know, what do they call that? Like the babies go through terrible twos and stages. That's the word I was looking for. Whatever stage of your life is in, it's got a storm to go with it, buddy. There is no part of your life that's easy sailing until you get home to glory. And everybody else out there is going through the same storm. Now, number two, there are some uncertainties about a storm. You see, I believe the better prepared you are, the better prepared you are. The more you know about a thing, the more you understand about it, the more you can anticipate about it, the better off you are getting through it, the better chance you've got of coming through it. Amen? That's the reason we, on board ship, they have all kind of training. They have lifeboat drills where they say the ship's sinking and they put the lifeboats overboard and everybody gets in them, you know, and practices an abandoned ship. So why do you do that? Because if it ever becomes a reality, you're a lot better equipped to make it. If you didn't have any training and every dog just does what comes natural, but half the people would die right there on the boat. Amen. And so the more we prepare, the more we understand, the more we foresee, the better shot we got at making it. And so I want to give you three or four things here about storms that are uncertain but can be prepared for. Now, it may not come to pass, but it won't hurt you to be ready in case it do. Amen. Number one, nobody knows when the storm comes how bad it's going to be. Amen. Man, I don't know about you, but I've sat on my front porch in the summertime, and they have, you know, the little summer storms, and you be sitting there, and the sky is blue, and it's so hazy you can't hardly see because there's so much junk in the air, you know, and the leaves on the trees and stuff are kind of dull looking because they got all that dust and stuff on them. And I look over there on the horizon, and I see a little old black cloud over there. Now, I know when they come from this direction, we're going to get it. If they come from back over here, there's a trough by our house or something, and they just kind of slide right by us. All we're going to do is get a little wind maybe, but for the most part, that thing's going to miss us. But if it comes from back over here, we're going to get it. Amen. I look over there, and here's a little old cloud. Man, it ain't that big, but it's black. I watch that thing for a few minutes, and now it's this big. That means it's coming this way. I tell my wife, I say, sweetheart, you need to get the canopy down on your swimming pool thing there and just sit down there and get the chairs in because we've got a storm coming. Amen? Now, it ain't here yet, but I can see it. You know, sometimes there are signs that something's coming. I mean, not everything ought to take you by surprise. Some folks run around and they so focused on whatever it is they're doing, they don't pay any attention to what's going around them, and something happens, and they're just all shattered and all upset and just ready to blow their brains out and just can't understand it. Well, listen, baby doll, for 6 months you've been getting signs. If you've been watching, I mean, you get signs with your health. You get signs with your children. You can see signs in your marriage. You can see signs with your finances. I mean, for crying out loud, how much you got to see before you realize something's fixing to happen? It's just no excuse for always getting caught flat-footed. When I see that cloud getting bigger and bigger coming this way, I know the storm is on the way, and I ought to do something in preparation. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, when the storm's coming, I got no idea how bad it's going to be. I see that little old cloud, and that thing might come over, and two drops of rain come out of it. You ever done that? You see them little summer squalls come by? They come by, and boy, I mean, it just pours down rain for about 20 seconds, and it's gone. I mean, it just makes the air sticky. It don't even get the driveway wet. Just makes you miserable with that humidity. And it's gone. And sometimes, though, that thing seems like it just parts right there, and they open the buckets up in heaven and just try to drown you out. And for 15 or 20 minutes, I mean, it just comes down in sheets. We say, boy, it was raining cats and dogs. Amen. So what do you do then? Well, you just sit there and take it. That's what you do then. Too late to do anything then. You in it. All you can do is ride it out and wait till the storm passes by. But you never know when it's coming, how bad it's going to be. And that's the way the storms of life are. A lady goes down and has an examination. And they say, listen, we need to do some more tests, and we want to send you over to the oncology lab. And that's like getting a bullet right through the heart. Because even them rednecks know that oncology means cancer. And everybody knows that cancer is terminal. When they use the big C word on you, it's over with. When they say the C word, boy, your heart just falls right down in your feet and don't come back up. Amen? And they say, we give you this appointment in 3 weeks. You know what that means? That means 3 weeks of agony. That means 3 weeks of terror. That means 3 weeks of torture. People say, well, just don't think about it. Just put it out of your mind. What planet are you from? You ain't going to put it out of your mind. You ain't going to think about nothing else. Amen? You say, well, I just turned it over to God and I got peace about it. Then how come it comes up 24 times in 24 hours? Amen. Because you're scared to death. That's why. Amen. Now, you go down to the oncology lab. The storm is here, but you don't know how bad it's going to be. You go down there and they look at you and examine and say, oh, that ain't nothing. That's just a cyst. That's just a mass. It ain't nothing benign. Whack that thing out, throw it away, and you, amen? But boy, I tell you what, till you knew it was a storm, amen? Turned out it wasn't much of a storm. But you like to go down there, and they look and say, listen, it's in your pancreas, and it's metastasizing, it's in your liver, and it's in your, so you got about 6 weeks. That means you got a week and a half. You need to go home and get things ready. Well, that's a bad storm, see? But now when the storm first came, you didn't know how bad it was going to be. So you prepare for it, amen? Prepare for the worst and hope for the best. When the storms come, you don't know how bad they're going to be. I'll tell you something else about them storms. You don't know the path that storm's going to take. Everybody's, oh, I've got my life all figured out, and I've got my plans made, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Well, I hope it works for you. But don't be overly shocked if it don't. The storms of life have a way of coming down and making you change directions. They got a way of coming down, and you say, oh, I see this, I see, but I know how to handle it, and that thing's got some turns and twists in there you never anticipated. And boy, in the middle of that storm, you get all turned around, and your life gets changed, and it is never, I mean, it is never in the next million years is it ever going to be the same again. Man. You don't know what path that storm is going to take. You say about them tornadoes? They say, well, you got to watch them tornadoes and keep an eye on them because they'll be going down through here and it'll just pick up and jump over here and drop right down there. We were down in Texas, and that's Tornado Alley down there in Corpus Christi and Kingsville. And in the summertime, there's a tornado or two almost every day. I'm not exaggerating. There's everywhere. And the worst place you can live, there's a tornado magnet called a mobile home. I don't know what it is about them things, but them tornadoes just love them. I guess because they're so easy to turn into tinfoil. Amen. You can redecorate the whole countryside in about 30 seconds with a good tornado. And we'd be down there, and we lived in a mobile home. And that tornado come down through there, and one day it came right by our house and picked the trailer right beside us up and shifted it over about 6 inches. Jumped over ours and the next one and went down to the next one and disintegrated it. But that thing just hopped right up over us like we wasn't there and come down over here and just ruined that guy. Totally unpredictable. Nobody knows which way that thing's going to go. Nobody knows how it's going to turn out. And I'm here to tell you that you need to understand that a lot of the storms in life, you don't know how bad they're going to be, and you don't know where they're going to go. You don't know where they're going to take you. You don't know how your life may change tomorrow. Amen. But you better be prepared for it, and you better be prepared to deal with it. And you say, well, me and my husband are going to get old together, and we're going to sit on the front porch in the rocking chair and all this, that, and the other, and he may drop dead or she may drop dead today, and your life has changed. The storm has come, and it took a direction you never planned on. And if you don't careful, the storm will destroy you. Not only we don't know how bad it's going to be, and we don't know what path it'll follow. You don't know who's going to survive it and who ain't. If you read the rest of that chapter, the ship got tore up. And everybody on that boat was grabbing life jackets and pieces of wood and beer kegs and whatever they could find and hanging on for dear life trying to make it ashore. Amen. Now the truth is that sometimes the storm destroys people. I hear these idiot Christians. I mean, I love them. God bless them. But I mean, they got the brains of a pygmy Indian. They say, well, you know, if you're saved, God ain't going to let nothing bad happen to you. Where did they get that? God ain't going to let, God lets bad stuff happen to good people all the time. If you love Jesus and you're serving Him, won't nothing bad happen. God will take care of you. Well, God's going to make sure you don't die and go to hell, but that don't mean your ship ain't going to get broke up out here on Highway 77 one of these days you pull out in front of an 18-wheeler. Amen. Amen. That means you go out here and do foolish stuff, you're going to have to pay foolish consequences. Amen. Amen. God can't keep you from being stupid. Amen. 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 And so... storm comes along there and people say the dumbest things about it. You don't know who's going to survive the storm and who's not. Amen? The next little storm that comes by there, there might be 20 of us in that same storm. But you just sitting in the wrong place and that lightning bolt comes down and just turns you into a crispy critter. And I was sitting over here and it missed me altogether. I got wet. I got scared. Amen. The wind blew. I was in the same storm you were, but somehow, for some reason, I can't explain, God let me get through it. Maybe you were sitting on a steel pipe or something, you know. I don't know, but it destroys you. If you look around, you'll see that all the time. You see a lot of folks that are saved by God's grace, and they get in a storm, and sometimes it's because of sin, and sometimes it's just because they're in the wrong place. Time and chance happen to all men, and they just in the storm, and they just in the wrong place, and the storm gets them. Don't be too judgmental about it, unless you know something everybody else doesn't know. You don't know why it happened, and you don't know who's going to survive the storm. It could have been you. Amen. What would you want folks to think? Amen. Sometimes the storm just makes victims out of us. The storm is indiscriminate. And buddy, you just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and be unprepared. The storm can get you just like it can get anybody else. Amen. I've been saved 34 years and I've been in church that whole time, and I've seen folks get in all kind of messes, and some of them it ruined them, and some of them recovered from it and went on and served God. You don't know who the storm's going to get. Amen. And you don't know. You might go through that storm today and get through it, and a year from now, 2 years from now, that same kind of storm come back your way, and you might not make it the second time. Amen. But you better hang in there until the storm passes by. The fourth thing about that is this. Now we're talking about the uncertainties of the storm. You don't know how bad it's going to be. You don't know what path it's going to follow. You don't know who's going to survive. And you don't know when it's going to subside. That thing sets in. You don't know if it's going to be a 10-minute storm or an all-nighter, buddy. Amen. I remember when Hugo came through here, everybody was scared to death. My wife stayed up all night watching the windows. I went to sleep. I went to bed and went sound asleep. I said, Lord, keep us safe. Amen. And if he does, we're safe. And if he don't, we're dead. And I wasn't going to worry about it. I try to only worry about things I can do something about. Amen. Now, I'm not always successful at that, by the way. But that's my goal. I want to put it in God's hands and by the grace of God, leave it there. But I knew I couldn't do nothing about that storm. Amen. I knew if that storm came through there and sucked our little old house up and tore it all to pieces, it was going to get me whether I was awake or asleep. So I decided to get and let it get me asleep. But my wife, bless her heart, she stood there and looked out the door and looked out the windows and saw all the rain and the wind, and she stayed terrified all night long. Finally, about 6 o'clock in the morning, I got up, and I'm standing over there drinking a cup of coffee. Boy, and the storm is just a-raging, and the wind was a-blowing. And, I mean, it was a bad storm, you know. And thank God I missed 8 hours of it. But that thing, the wind was blowing. I got up that morning. I'm standing there at the door drinking coffee, looking out. And all of a sudden, big old gust of wind came, and we got these two metal buildings over there beside the house that keep tools and stuff in. They just picked up right up in the air. I mean, they just went straight up. I thought they had a rocket engine under them. I thought they were launching. They just went straight up in the air, and they came over here about 50 or 75 feet and just fell and just disintegrated. Never touched our house. I didn't pull a half a dozen shingles off our house. Amen. I said, glory to God. But that thing raged all night long, raged all through the day. Late that afternoon, you could tell the wind was starting to letting up and the sky was starting to get light. And by late afternoon, it was bright, sunshiny day. You'd never known it was a storm if you didn't see the destruction. Amen? You don't know how long that thing's going to last. They sit and predict how long your troubles will last, how long the storms in your life will last. You know what you got to do? You got to stick it out till the storm passes by. Whether that's 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 months or 5 years, you got to say, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to hang in there till the storm passes by. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to leave the house. I'm not going to get out of the boat and get out in the storm. That's dumb.
Point number 3. I told you I got 4 points. Number 3. The first point was, you're not the only one in the storm. Point number 2 was, there's some uncertainties about storm. Number 3, there are some things that are sure about a storm. Now these are predictable. These are things you can know for certainty. So, you just talked about all the stuff we couldn't know. Yeah, I know it. But I want to talk to you now about some things you can know. So what's that? Well, number one, mark this down. And this is a comfort. This is meant to encourage you. No storm lasts forever. Now, you don't know how long it's going to last. I understand that. But I know this. It's got an end. It's got an end. When I was in the Navy, we was over in South China Sea, and they had those... they don't call them hurricanes over there. They're typhoons. And we went through them things, and sometimes for a week, we'd be out there at sea, and it'd be windy and rainy, and it'd be awful, and it's just a terrible time. But sooner or later, it blew over. It blew away. It always did come to an end. Amen? Now, there might be a lot of damage and a lot of work to do after the storm. Or sometimes you look out there and say, well, we came through that in pretty good shape. And it's just minor damage and need minor repair. But you know what? Keep going. We knew that sooner or later it's going to be over with. If we'd have thought it was going to last forever and ever and ever, we'd have thrown a towel in. Yeah. Amen? But thank God, God gave us the knowledge and the understanding that even though it's a big storm and a bad storm, and we don't know exactly where it's going to go, we don't know where it's going to take us, and we don't know how long it's going to last, we know this one thing. If we'll just hang in there, if we just won't quit, it will come to an end. That's real encouragement. Listen, that light at the end of the tunnel, buddy, has kept many a person kept on going. It's when there's no light at the end of the tunnel. It's when there's no way out. I read a story one time about a famous artist, and he was commissioned to paint a picture of a particular forest over in Germany. And he went and he looked at the forest and he studied it, and he came back and he painted it. And he got all through with it, and he had it hanging there on the wall. And his best buddy came in and looked at it. He said, look at my masterpiece. And he unveiled it. And the fellow looked at it, and he said, what do you think? And the fellow walked over and picked up a paintbrush and daubed it in some paint there and came back over right in the middle of it and painted a little line. And he painted a road coming out of the forest. The guy said, what are you doing? He said, you ruined my picture of the forest. He said, no, I didn't. He said, you never, ever leave no way out. Amen? And that's what God did. God may let the storms come, but you got to understand it comes to an end. There's a way out. There's an end to it. There is hope for tomorrow. It won't always be like this. Sometimes, it will come to an end and things will get better. And I don't care what little cell in a long line of thunderstorms or if it's the storm. Bless God, one of these days your troubles will be over and you'll be on the other side with Jesus.
Amen. No storm lasts forever. I'll tell you this too. Boy, I like this. It's always brighter after a storm. I don't know what it is. I like them little summertime storms, even though it makes it muggy. You ever been out there and it's been 90 degrees for 15 days in a row and ain't been a drop of rain? And the grass is turning brown and kind of prickles your feet when you walk on it and it ain't growing. You're not going to have to cut the grass again this week. And the leaves are kind of dull looking because they're covered with that dust and stuff. And the haze in the air is, you just can't see nowhere. And then all of a sudden, one afternoon, you see that storm building up over here. And it growing and getting bigger. And then the wind starts to blow and that cloud's coming over. And boy, don't that breeze feel good? Are you enjoying that little fresh air? And all of a sudden, man, coming at about a 45-degree angle is rain coming in sheets. And I mean, it just one or two hits the ground, and then all of a sudden, it just breaks loose. And you stand there, boy, and it's feeling so good, but man, in about a minute, it's coming down so hard, it's hurting. And you jump back up on the front porch or hiding behind something trying to get out of it. Amen. And it come in there about 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes, and it just rains cats and dogs and the wind blows and that thing moves on by and you can see the storm is right here. You ever watch that? You know, the storm is here and it's dark, but look over here and the sun's out shining. And you just kind of watch it move on across. And you come out there and the haze is gone out of the air and the dirt's gone off of the leaves. And it just seems so bright. It looks better than it's looked in a long, long time. And you just kind of stand around and revel in its beauty and in its cleanliness. Amen? That's the way the passing of a storm is. It's always bright. And when you've got some storms in your life, and you weather that thing and you ride it out and you stick with it and you don't throw in the towel and you don't give way to despair and finally God gets you through that thing and you come out on the sunshiny side, the storm is moving away and you're moving into the sunlight. Boy, it seems so bright. It seems so beautiful. You think, my goodness, I don't think I've ever seen it this pretty before. I don't think I've ever seen the sky so blue as it is today. You know why that is? The passing of a storm leaves us with a sense of thankfulness. When a storm passes over, you look out there. You've come through it, and you're in good shape, and your family's in good shape, and the house is in good shape, and the sun is bright, and the sky is clear, and the leaves are shiny green again. You say, thank God. Thank God didn't blow a house away. Thank God nobody got hit with lightning. Amen. Thank God it was just a storm that passed by and pretty much left everything as it was. Boy, it had us scared there for a while, though. Had us worried, didn't it? But now it's blown over, and the lightning. See, you ever getting some of them summer storms? They say there's 1,000 lightning strikes every 3 or 4 minutes in some of them storms. I mean, just one after millions of volts of static electricity.
just flashing and hitting stuff and burning trees down and terrible. A lot of violence, a lot of power. But you come through it and you almost invariably say, well, thank God that's over, boy. It's hard to come through a real storm in your life and not have a sense of thankfulness for it. Especially if it's been a real bad one. Especially if it took you some places you never thought you was going to go. Amen. But God got you through it, and you hung in there. You got through it, and you didn't get out until the storm passed by. I guarantee you, it'll put a sense of thankfulness in your heart. Amen. Sometimes I think God lets them storms come, if for no other reason. I'm sure there are other reasons, but if for no other reason, to make us thankful for God's mercy and God's goodness. Amen? But I guarantee if you live and breathe, you're going to have storms in your life and you're going to be terrified and you're not going to know where it's going to end up and you're not going to know how you're going to survive it, but somehow you get through it and you look back on the other side and now maybe it don't quite seem as bad as it did when you were in the middle of it, but you got to say, thank God I got through that thing.
Point number four, and we'll go home. I'm only a little bit over time. Now, first thing was this. You're not the only one in the storm. So spend all your time whining about storm. Number two, there are some things that are uncertain about a storm. There's some things about you just can't predict. There are some things, though, that are predictable. Some things that are true of all storms, big or small. Number four, there are some things to do in the storm. There's some things you can do while the storm rages. There's some things that you can do to ensure you get through it. Or to ensure that you get through it with as little damage as possible. Now I'll give you these very briefly. Number one, things to do in the storm. Draw nigh unto God. That's the first thing you ought to do, buddy. That's the first place you ought to run. Amen? Your marriage is in trouble? Don't run to a marriage counselor. Run to God. Amen? Your children are giving you trouble? Don't run to counselors and guidance people and sociologists and this, that, and the other. Run to God. Run to God. Run to God. You got a situation you can't handle. Something is bigger than you. Something about to overwhelm you. Draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Yeah. You got a promise there. He said, if you get close to me, I'll get close to you. Now watch this. If I draw nigh to my wife, why, she's close to me. Amen. If I get real close to her, she's real close to me. Now I ain't near as close as I like to be. Well, I'm a touchy-feety kind of guy. I like getting close, amen? And buddy, I'll tell you what, when I'm worried and when I'm scared and when my life is out of control and I don't have the power and the means to control it and tell which way it's going to go, I'll tell you what I need to do. I want to run and grab God and get a hold of Him. There's safety close to Him. Amen. He's my shelter in the time of storm. He's my rock, my high tower, my shield, and my buckler. He's my cleft in the rock. Draw nigh unto God. Number two, don't give up in despair. Some people look at the storm. They say, oh, this is a baddie. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is a 10. I just don't think I can do this. I just don't think I can cope with this. I just don't think I can deal with this. Well, what are you going to do? It's either deal with it or give up to it. Amen? It's either deal with it or die with it. It's either deal with it and survive it or give in to it and let it destroy you. And there have been many of God's people whose usefulness on this earth was rendered null and void, and they might as well go ahead and die and go home to glory because the storm ruined them because they gave in to despair. Oh, I just can't live with this. I can't deal with this. I don't know how to handle this. And it just got all down in the mouth and gave up inside and threw in the towel. Listen, don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Don't give way to despair. The storm will pass over, and God can get you through it, and life can go on. Amen.
It may not go on like it did before, but go on it will. Life was here before your storm. Life is here during your storm, and life will be here when your storm is over. Draw nigh to God. Don't give up in despair, and fellowship with others. You know what people want to do when the storm comes? They want to go find a little bitty crevice and sneak off all by themselves and get in there and just sit there all alone, terrified, waiting for the storm to end. They sit there hours and hours, or sometimes days, all scrunched up, no food, no joy, no help. Just all scrunched up, and they listen to the wind blowing and the building creaking, and they just terrified inside. Well, you ain't got to go through the storm like that.
Amen.
What do you think God gave you Christian brothers and sisters for? What do you think you got a preacher for? Amen? I don't know about you, son, but I'm a whole lot braver when I got folks with me when I'm by myself.
Amen?
Amen? I mean, I'll act brave if you're watching me, because I don't want you to know how yeller I am. Amen? Well, if God lets a storm come in your life, there ought to be somebody you can talk to. There ought to be somebody you can trust. Amen? There ought to be somebody can give good counsel. There ought to be somebody could just sit and listen and empathize. Amen? Now, I know you have to be discreet. I know you have to be careful. But I'm here to tell you, son, we got a whole church full of people, and we got a God of glory. And if you'll draw nigh unto Him and find those folks in Christ that you can trust and fellowship with, somebody who's been through the same thing, there's a lot of comfort in that.
Amen.
Amen? Instead of getting all isolated and hiding under the bed and waiting for the roof to come off, do something. Be proactive. Accomplish something while you're in the storm. Now, you may not be able to go outside and get anything done, but you can do something on the inside.
Amen.
I never did ask my wife, but I thought about it after Hugo came through. She's up all night. And I thought immediately, why didn't you clean the house? Now, I'm a gentleman. I never ask her that. But I thought, you was up all night. Why didn't you clean the house? Now, I was a bit asleep. Amen. But she's up all night. Might as well do something. Amen. Stand there at that window and look scared.
No, I was watching and praying. Amen.
Whatever. Stand there at that little old plate glass window, you know, or that little glass door thing we got, and look out at the storm, boy, and the trees are whipping around, the wind's blowing, and stuff flying through the air, and just stand there all night long. Well, glory to God. What'd you accomplish all night? Oh, I got a breath stain on the glass. Why didn't you do something? Because you let the storm overcome you, that's why. You got so concentrated, so focused on the storm, you forgot that there was still something you could do. Amen? The storm ain't the end of everything. It's not the end of everything. Draw nigh to God. Find some fellowship and get up off your blessed assurance and do something. You might well make your time count. The storm is there and there's nothing you can do about it. Say, how long, O Lord, till the storm passes by? Now, things to do in the storm: draw nigh to God, don't give up in despair, fellowship with others, and last but not least, long for the day. That's what Paul said over there after he'd been in the darkness for many days. He said, and we looked for the day. Look for the day. So what was he looking for? He was looking for the end. Now, he knew it was coming. He didn't know when. But he knew it had to be there. And he'd done everything he could do, and they made all the preparation they could. They had lightened the ship and thrown off the tackle and all this, that, and the other. And they prayed, and the angel of God showed up. Boy, I mean, there wasn't much left Paul could do. So what did he do? He stood up on the deck looking for them light spots in the cloud. Looking for signs of the end. Looking for the signs of the coming of day. Amen. You know what you need to do in the storm of life, in this big long line of thunderstorms that we call life? You know what you need to do? You need to do all you can while you're in the storm, and the whole time you're doing it, long for the day, looking for His appearing. Amen. Looking for Jesus and saying, perhaps today, perhaps today, perhaps today. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus came today? He said, oh, I've been hearing that all my life. Well, it works. I'm still looking. You believe he's coming, don't you? Amen. I'll tell you this much. They say, well, they've been saying that for 2,100 years or 2,007 years, whatever it is. So, you know what that means? That means I'm 2,007 years closer to it being true. Amen. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. This same Jesus which is taken up among you shall so come again in like manner as you've seen him go. Buddy, he said he was a coming, and he's a coming. You know what I'm doing? I'm enduring the storms of life. I'm going to hang in there. I'm not going to give up in despair. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to stick it out till the storm passes by and the Son of God shines through.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face while the storms howled about me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, I can't say passes by. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy.